Well, greetings from tornado-torn and bankrupt America. It's good to be in Wales on a sunny day. It's beautiful. All right, well, we're going to take a little time in the Word of God. If you have your Bibles, open up to Luke chapter 10. If not, just follow along. I'm going to just basically tell the story, one that you might be familiar with. It's the story of the Good Samaritan. How many have ever heard about the Good Samaritan? Ah, most of you have even heard about it. That's good. We're going to take a little different glance at it this morning. I'll start by just reading the entire story. It only takes a minute or two, and then we're going to kind of point out some interesting things that I found looking at this story. It starts out this way in Luke chapter 10, verse 25. Behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Not a bad question from an attorney. I think that's pretty good. So Jesus said to him, "What's written in the law? How do you read it?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You've answered correctly. Do this, and you'll live." End of the story. Let's go home. Right? It's like, is it that easy? Not when you're a lawyer, it's not that easy. Because lawyers think loopholes, there's got to be a catch. You know, what's it going to cost? They're very shrewd. And so the lawyer, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "Okay, and who is my neighbor? Just who is my neighbor?" So then Jesus goes into the story. He doesn't tell him yet who his neighbor is. He tells him by way of a story. So here's the story to find out the answer to the question. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He fell among robbers who stripped him, beat him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a priest was going down the same road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. He went to him. He bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal, and he brought him to an inn, took care of him, and the next day he took out 2 denarii, and he gave them to the innkeeper and said, "Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I'll repay you when I come back." End of story. Jesus turns back to the lawyer, asks him some questions. Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? The lawyer said, "Well, I guess the one who showed him mercy." Jesus said, "You go and do likewise." There's the story. Interesting thing. I'm sure the lawyer's mind was kind of trying to think through that story, and perhaps he was saying, "Where do I fit into this story? How is that going to happen? And who's my neighbor again?" And all these questions. Well, let's go back and maybe answer some questions we all have about this story. Because it really is a story about you. It's a story about me. It's about a story about man. And actually, it's an amazing time frame that this one little story Jesus tells actually fits the entire time frame of the Bible from Genesis all the way to Revelation. Is that incredible? You could tell one story. Only Jesus could do that. Tell a story that gives truth and facts about man and God from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible. This man, it says, was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed and left him half dead. That's the story of man being created. Man put on this planet, created by God, on a journey, and he fell. Man fell. He fell amongst the enemy. Man disobeyed God, and he fell. And the enemy came, and we became cursed, the Bible says. Because we disobeyed God, man fell under a curse. And the threefold curse that we fell under is poverty, because these robbers, the enemy, came and stripped him of his clothing and his belongings. That's you and I. We were stripped of what God gave us. He was sick because they wounded him and left him hurting and sick. And then, worst of all, they left him half dead. Not completely dead, but when man fell out of relationship with God, he didn't physically die, but he died spiritually. We became separated from God. That's the condition of every person, just like that man. Wounded, stripped, half dead. Well, long comes the priest and the Levite. Ta-da! Perhaps they can rescue him. Along comes a little religion and a little law. A little law for everybody is not too bad. A little religion's okay. Perhaps they can help this man who's bleeding, dying, stripped. Well, interesting. Jesus tells a story about these guys coming and they just passed right by. When they saw this man in his condition, they looked and said, "Sorry, can't help you." Priest, same thing. "Sorry, can't help you." Do you know what's interesting about the law and religion? The law that God gave was never designed to save man. The law was always given to point out to man the high requirements of God that are impossible to keep. Here's the requirements of God. Be holy. It's like, well, can't do that one. Anything else? You know? And you start going through, don't do this and don't do that. And the law of God came to us to go, this is impossible. I can't do this. That's why the law couldn't help a lost person. It can't help you. What it does do, it points out to you, you need help. It points out literally our helplessness, our terrible condition without God. So they just passed the poor guy by. But a Samaritan. Now a Samaritan, interestingly, would be the least likely person to stop and help this person along the road. They were kind of a low-class citizen. They wouldn't be seen even mingling with people on the road that traveled from Jerusalem down to Jericho. This was probably a Jewish person in a Jewish context here. This was probably a Jewish lawyer. And here comes a Samaritan, and the lawyer's probably going, it's kind of like, ooh, a Samaritan? Yeah, Jesus said, yeah, interesting. Along comes a Samaritan as he journeyed. This Samaritan was on a journey. This man was on a journey. He had a big problem on his journey. And the Samaritan was possibly used to the road. Maybe it was his first time on the road. I don't think so, because it sounded like he had a purpose. This Samaritan, as he journeyed, he came to where he was. It's like he was sent there. He came right to where the man was. And when he saw him, he just didn't go, oops, a Jewish man. I better go now. Don't want anybody to think that I actually stopped to help a Jewish person. It's interesting. No, he came and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, unlike the priest, unlike the Levite. Something came from him that was very unusual. Compassion. Wow. He didn't just stop and go, boy, I sure have a lot of compassion for you. Have a nice day. I feel sorry for you, buddy, but I got to keep going. No, he came to where he was. He bent down. He took out oil and wine and bound up his wounds and poured the oil in and poured the wine in. And then he didn't say, have a nice day, hope you feel better, I gotta go. It's like everything else stopped in his journey. Or perhaps this was the purpose of his journey. And he took the man and he put him on his donkey. And he took the donkey and led the donkey all the way to the local Holiday Inn. He said, you got any rooms? He says, yes, we got a room. He says, good, we'll take a room. And he took him in and he took care of him that night. And the next morning he says, now listen, I've got to go. So I'll tell you what. He goes to the innkeeper. He says, innkeeper, this is my new friend. He needs some help. Will you take care of him? How long? I don't know. However long it takes. He took out, the Bible says, 2 denarii. A denarii was 1 day's wage, the equivalent of 1 day's wage. And he gave him 2. And he said, take care of him. And I love this phrase. You know, the Samaritan established a credit account. Credit goes all the way back to the Bible. Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I'll repay you when I come back. Now, isn't that interesting? What a story there. I see some things about the Samaritan that really marvel me. You know, really, we start putting the clues together, just like we were playing the game with the kids, you know. We have clues to identify who's who here. We've already think we've identified that this man that was going down the road and fell, that's us. That's us. And this Samaritan comes along, seems like it's Jesus. Seems like this Samaritan represents what Jesus did. He came to this earth. He was on a journey from Jerusalem to Jericho, which always represents heaven to earth. And he came to the very road that we were on. He found us in our terrible condition, stripped of our raiment, wounded and half dead. He came to us and had compassion on us. And he took out incredible elements called oil and wine that represent the Holy Spirit. And then he bound up our wounds. He healed us. He put us on his own beast of burden. He said, I'll carry your burdens. And he took us to an inn, which I like to call the church. And he turned us over to the innkeeper. That's the Holy Spirit. He said, take care of him. Take care of him. Took out 2 days' wages. Said, take care of him. Gives us a little picture of the time frame we're all in. I'm not trying to stretch the truth, but biblically we know that the Bible says that one day is as 1,000 years to the Lord. And so if he took out 2 days' wages, it kind of represents 2,000 years. He says, here, take care of him. It'll be about 2,000 years or so before I come back. But when I come back, if you have spent any more, I'll pay you back. I think we're all in for a big payday as long as we keep taking care of people. You know, as we join the inn, and we're part of the innkeeping staff, and we take care of the people that the Good Samaritan brings, there's no cost too great for him. Because he said, I'll pay you back. Isn't that good news? You got a great credit history with the Lord when you take care of his people. And then Jesus says, so, in conclusion, which of these three? Remember, the first question was, what must I do to have eternal life? That's a good question. Maybe some of you are sitting there, yeah, what do you have to do to have eternal life? I had that question one day in my life. I said, what do I really have to do? I was a very faithful church attender. I had a pretty good attendance record. I grew up in the Anglican church in America. We call the Episcopal church. And I was a candle lighter, a candle snuffer. I was a cross bearer. And I was a kneeler. And I wore little red dresses with white things on them. I was cool. Until I got to be about 12, and I thought, this is ridiculous. When you're that little, you just don't. Like down here, this is a lot of little cool stuff, and then the day comes, it's not cool to come down front anymore and play the games, is it? And it wasn't cool for me to snuff candles and carry crosses, and so I shifted into the choir. That was a little cooler. I sang in the choir. Got to wear a blue dress now. Instead of my red, traded in my red dress for a cool blue one with a big cross around it. Early day bling, you know? Wasn't called bling back then, but it was cool. I was a faithful attender, but you know what? I really didn't know what I needed to do to have eternal life. I thought it was just keep attending and keep changing your dresses, and you'll get there eventually. If someone had asked me at that point, what do you need to do to have eternal life? I said, you just got to keep going to church and put up with all the stuff. Just put up with all their little rules and regulations. Just put up with it, but just keep going. I think that's the way you got to go. He had an interesting question. Teacher, what do I do to have eternal life? He turns around and says, well, how's it written in the law? You're a lawyer. How do you read it? He said, well, the law says I got to love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. But then there's this other part that I'm not really sure. I think I can love God. You know, I grew up in church, and I actually could say I loved God. Didn't know him, but I loved him. I loved the God that was presented because that's the only presentation I had. But you know what? This other question would have bothered me too. He says, you got to love God. No problem. I love God. And you got to love your neighbor as yourself. He starts thinking, I got a lot of neighbors. In fact, I just go up and down my street thinking, oh my gosh, I got to love all of them? How about the guy on my right? Oh, the guy on the left's not bad. We share a driveway. But the guy on the right, oh my gosh, I've got to love him? I can barely tolerate him. Got to be a catch here. So the wise lawyer says, okay, good, Jesus. Can you please identify just who exactly is my neighbor? And if you'll point that one person out, I'll do all I can to try to love that person so I can have eternal life. So he goes from, what do I have to do to have eternal life, to this question that really bothered him, exactly who is my neighbor? With a little fear, he waits, and then Jesus tells the story, brings him down to the conclusion and says, now, which of these three was the neighbor? You go, oh, I got a choice of three. That's not bad. Like we had a multiple choice, you know, So we got a multiple choice now. Who are the three? Three what? Three guys. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. There's the guy that fell. And we're looking at the story going, yeah, there's a lot of guys all of a sudden. There's the guy that was on his journey and he fell. There's this lawyer. It's not him. Okay. There's this Samaritan. There's this priest. There's a Levite. Which of the three? I guess we're talking about that priest guy then, right? Yep. And the Levite guy? Yeah. And the Samaritan, right? I got to pick one of those three to be my neighbor? Yep. Which one of the three was neighbor to the guy that fell? Well, gosh, the priest just passed on by. He couldn't help him. He's out. The Levite, he passed by. He didn't help him. He's out. Gosh, I guess it's the Samaritan. I guess the Samaritan's the neighbor. Yep. The Samaritan's the neighbor. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and the Samaritan. I don't know any Samaritans. He's going, you're not getting it. Jesus says, that Samaritan is me. That was me in that story. That's who I am. I'm the Son of God. I was sent by my Father on a journey to find you. And Mr. Lawyer, you're the man. You're the man in the road that was robbed and stripped and beaten and wounded. That's you. And I'm the Samaritan. And I rescued you and I healed you. And I'm invited you to my inn to take care of you. And I'm going away, but when I come back, I'm going to settle every account. You got to love me, Mr. Lawyer. You got to love Jesus. See, so often we look at the story of the Good Samaritan and we say, okay, the story of the Good Samaritan is I've got to be a Good Samaritan. So basically this story is about me being good to people. How many ever thought that? I grew up thinking the Good Samaritan. Ah, well, I got to be a Good Samaritan. We teach it in Sunday school. It's not bad. You know what? That's part of the story because Jesus did say, go and do likewise, but the big issue was, who is my neighbor? Because I have to love him if I'm going to have eternal life. It's not I got to go around and change flat tires and, you know, rake leaves for somebody, rescue somebody in the road. That's okay. Do that, he says, but if you want eternal life, you're going to have to love God and you're going to have to love Jesus. Interesting story. If you're thinking it through this morning, thinking, actually, that's a little easier. You mean, oh, good, I don't have to love old Uncle Krabby Bill next door? Well, not the same way. You're off a little bit on the crabby neighbor next door and the disgusting people across the street. But you know what? You got to go to the wounded, hurting, half-dead people that God puts on your path. And you got to do likewise. There will be people that you'll meet. There will be people that you'll come across in the same condition you and I were in. Wounded, stripped, half dead, not having full life. And he says, go and do likewise. Go pour in some oil and wine. Oh, where do I get that? That's glad you asked. Because there's one more character in this story. We call him the unseen helper, the invisible man. The invisible man in this whole story is the Holy Spirit. We've got the Father, we've got the Son, and we've got the Holy Spirit. He's the unseen helper. He has ministries to give. Here's five little ministries that the invisible man was doing behind the scene of this wonderful story of the Good Samaritan. First, when Jesus, the Samaritan, took the oil and the wine, that's the Holy Spirit. He poured oil in first. He poured in the oil of what we call the new birth. Oil always represented new birth. And the Holy Spirit comes to you and I, and the first thing in our rescue operation is new birth. That's the way you get all the other goodies too. We're dead spiritually. We're hurting. We're wounded. We've got nothing. And God comes to us like the invisible man through the Holy Spirit and pours the oil of the new birth right on our wounds and begins to heal us. Takes us out of being half dead into fully alive. He pours in the oil. Then the Holy Spirit comes and says, I got more. I got wine too. He pours in the wine that fills us up, the wine, it says, that makes the heart glad. The infilling of the Holy Spirit is always represented by the pouring out of wine I love the scripture in the Old Testament says that there was a day when the vats overflowed in heaven. That's when the Holy Spirit was poured out, the vats of oil and wine. And then there's this beast, this donkey that the Samaritan had. We didn't know he had him until he found the wounded man. And then it's like he put the wounded man, he took you, pouring in oil and wine, filling you with the Holy Spirit, bringing new birth. And he says, hey, let me carry your burdens. Beautiful scripture this morning, Pete. Way to go, man. Come unto me, all you that travail and are heavy laden, carrying a lot of junk. I'll refresh you. Get on my donkey. I'll take a ride with me. And he put him on his donkey and he says, come on with me. Where are we going? He says, going to a great place. It's called the church. Once you're born again and filled with his Spirit and you begin to realize Jesus will bear my burdens for me. I don't have to carry this stuff anymore. I don't have to get there on my own. You realize I can go to a place where other people are like me. Other people that have been wounded and hurt and came from death to life, and we get to hang out at the hotel and eat together and do life together. We get to hang out until this great Samaritan comes back. And in the meantime, he's paying for it. That's a cool story. He's paying for it. And if we run up a little tab, so what? He says he'll settle that when he gets back. Just put it on my good friend's account. Put it on the Samaritan's account. He'll pay for it. It's a great story. The Holy Spirit wasn't done because there was an innkeeper. When you come to the church, and it's not Julian, aren't you glad? Although he's a great cook, by the way. He's a great cook. The innkeeper is also the Holy Spirit. He's in charge of the church. He runs the church for the owner, who is the Lord God himself. It's his church. It's Jesus' church. He's the owner. He says, but I've got a steward that will take care of you. And yes, he will steward all that you need. He will distribute my denarii. He turned over what he says, this is what you'll need. If you spend any more, I'll supply that too. And so it's the Holy Spirit that takes care of us. It's the Holy Spirit that's watching over us every day at the inn. And it's the Holy Spirit that has the Father's resources to take care of your life. God's not going to leave you helpless. God's not going to leave you homeless. He's not going to leave you wounded, dying, bleeding, and stripped. He's going to take care of your needs. That's the Good Samaritan. That's who we're supposed to love. Do you love him a little more after that story? I love him more. Every time I read the story, it goes, I love that Samaritan. I love that Samaritan. I love that neighbor. Now, that's a good neighbor. That's the kind of neighbor I can surely fall in love with. So this morning, I ask you a question as we finish. Do you know what to do to receive eternal life? Well, we got the tip from the lawyer. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. But not only that, fall in love with Jesus Christ and love him as you love yourself. We all love ourselves. It's a little hard, though, when we go through difficulty and trouble, when we're wounded, go through stuff. But you got to know, Jesus loves you more. He loves you more. I'm going to give you one more quick illustration. There's a little illustration in the book of Matthew. It talks about oil and wine. I think it's really interesting. In the book of Matthew, Jesus gave this little tiny quick parable. He says, neither is new wine put into old wineskins. If it does, the wineskin bursts and the wine is spilled. What a shame. Terrible. So if you do that, the skin itself is completely destroyed. New wine is put into a fresh or renewed wineskin and both are preserved. Do you know in those days, wineskins were like the stomach of an animal, and they would take them out and they would kind of let them dry a little bit, and then they'd put new wine. You had to put new wine in a new wineskin because there was a stretching that went on. But sometimes there was old wineskins and they could still use them, but they had to do something first. They took the old useless wineskins and they would rub oil on them. They would oil them up. And that's why he said you took new wine and put it in a new wineskin. Two different words in the Greek language is what the Bible's written in. He says you take brand new wine and put it in a renewed wineskin. They had to take the oil and rub it on that old dry wineskin and renew it to make it prepared so they could pour in the new wine. I was that old, dried out, dead wineskin laying on the road. Were you? That was me. Useless. couldn't contain anything. But my good Samaritan came to me. He poured in oil. He poured in the oil of new birth over my life, and he began to rub the oil of the new birth into my soul. And I became renewed, flexible. He prepared me to receive new wine. Then my Samaritan poured wine into me and filled me with his spirit. And some of you today, you're that dead, dried out life, right on the side of the road of life. And the Samaritan's coming to you this morning. He's coming to you. Isn't it cool the Samaritan came to where he was? He won't pass you by. He's saying, I'd like to pour some oil into you and bring new birth. I'd like to pour some oil into the dry things of your life. I'd like to revive you. I'd like to heal your wounds, and I'd like to fill you with my spirit. If that's talking to you this morning, I want to take just a minute and give you a chance to receive the oil and maybe the wine or both. Some of you have had the oil of new birth, but you know what? You've never received the wine. You're prepared. Your wineskin's all oiled up. Why not have new wine? But some of you have yet even to receive the oil of new birth. If you'd like that this morning, I'd like to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'd like everybody to just bow your head. Don't want to embarrass anybody, but I just want to pray because I just think this is our good Samaritan like we've never seen him before. I believe the story came to us so that Jesus could stand here as the invisible man and say, that's me. I want to pour in oil and wine to your life this morning. If you're here this morning, you've never had the oil of new birth and been revived, had your sins forgiven. If that's you, just slip your hand up real quick. Nobody's looking around but me. Just slip your hand up. Say, that's me. I need new birth. Thank you, ma'am. Put your hand down. Anybody else? I see that hand. Thank you. That's me. I need the oil of new birth. I want to pray for you right where you're at. You can stay seated, or if you'd like, you can stand up. But I'm going to pray for you too. I know who you are. I'm going to pray for you. And I'd like to talk to you real quick right after the service and just shake your hand. But Father, I thank you for these two sisters that put their hand up and said, I want the oil of new birth. I need that. I was bleeding, dying, wounded on the Jericho road, and I needed a Samaritan to come to me. He's come. Ladies, he's come today. Receive right now new birth in Jesus' name. Receive forgiveness of your sins in Jesus' name. And receive the oil of new birth. Now, let me ask you this. There's some of you who've had the oil of new birth, but you've never had the new wine. You've never been filled. If that's you, just slip your hand up. Say, I love the filling of the Holy Spirit. I need that. I need that. Thank you, ma'am. I see your hand. Anybody else? Thank you, Joseph. I see your hand. Yes, ma'am. Why don't you just stand with me, you three, because this is good. Why don't we all stand up? Let's all stand. And I want to do something real quick. The three of you that want this oil of or this new wine real quick, come on up here real quick because this is something that's really a special infilling, okay? You raise your hand and said, I need the new wine. Come on, Joseph, come on up here. And there's a few others that raised their hand. And if you can still get in on this too. Whoever wants the infilling of the Holy Spirit right now, just come. I'm just going to do it quickly, lay hands on you. That's what the Bible says to do. Paul laid hands on believers and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. It's that quick, okay? Just as fast as pouring a glass of wine. It's that quick, okay? Thank you. Anybody else? Come on up. I'm just going to pray real quick. Come on up and get here. So join me in prayer as we pray for these. Father, by the way, I'm going to give the invitation for those that got the oil. That's your preparation for the wine. If you want to come get the wine, come on. You're invited too. You're invited too. Yeah, come on up, sis. You're invited too. You, sister in the back, if you want to come, come on up. This is great because that's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He pours in the oil and the wine, completely healing you and filling you. So thanks, Sean. Any of the elders want to come and just pray with me. Father, just receive now. Just receive. Is Jesus the Lord of your life now? Isn't he? Isn't that great? Then receive the Holy Spirit. Just receive the new wine. Be filled in Jesus' name. Just receive. Just like you. Just say, okay, pour it in, Lord. You know, the guy didn't have to do anything but receive. Receive the Holy Spirit. There you go. Receive. Joseph, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit. He's pouring out the oil and the wine. Fill this man in Jesus' name. Fill in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Fill. Pour in the oil and the wine, Lord. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Come right now, Holy Spirit. Pour out your wine. Pour out your wine. Receive. Oh, it's getting tasty up here. The wine is flowing. The oil's flowing. You know, when that happens, I don't know about you, I start talking. I just have to thank the host that poured the wine. I just have to say, this is good. Thank you very much. And I really like you. And you know what? Let's praise a little bit together, folks. Let's all praise. Remember the day that you were filled. Give thanks to God. That's what happened in the book of Acts. They were all were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to worship God and extol him. Let's just thank him and help our brothers and sisters up here. Just thank the Lord. Just open your mouth now and thank him. Just thank him. Say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for filling me. Thank you for saving me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just receive. The Holy Spirit's good stuff. She had a little too much wine, I think, so we're going to cut her off. But hey, listen, the Holy Spirit can just touch us, and he can mess with us and love us and lay us down and pick us up. And he's God. He is God. Isn't it good? Some of you have been refreshed. I can tell by looking at you. It's like, ooh, I just got refreshed. You know you can do that? You can say, Lord, I need a refreshing. Fill me fresh. Fill me again. You up here, you got great pastors and elders here, and they're not going to let you go. Now you're in the inn, see? And you're in the hands of the great innkeeper, and he's got great staff that are going to take care of you and make sure all your needs are met. Isn't that great to know, church? You're at a great inn, by the way. This is a great inn that God has brought you to. So receive, believe, and have an awesome day. Thanks for listening. God bless.